the very bottom of the right-hand column. Before you also run, remember the days of the world. Then it says, Binu Shanos Dor Vador. Pay attention to the years from generation to generation. And as a matter of fact, let me check the footage there. Thank you. I did read it out directly from the Torah. Ask your father, the very bottom of the right-hand column. Remember the days of the world. Then it says, Binu Shanos Dor Vador. Pay attention to the years from generation to generation. And as a matter of fact, let me check the footage there. Thank you. I did read it out directly from the Torah. Pasuk Zayin. Zechor Yemos Olam Bina Shemot Dor Vador. Sha'al Avicha V'yageidcha, ask your father, and he will tell you, Zekeinecha, your elders, V'yomru Lach, and they will speak it to you. V'hancha Elyon Goyim, when Hashem apportioned out nations. V'hafrido B'nei Adam, when he separated people. Yatsev Gavulos Amin, in establishing the boundaries of nations. L'mispar B'nei Yisrael, according to the numbers of Israel. Kichelek Hashem Amo. If the portion of Hashem is his nation, Yaakov Tevel Nachal Esav. Yaakov is the rope of his inheritance. Yimsa'ehu Be'eretz Nevor. He found him in a wilderness. Yivisovu Yilal Yishimu. And in a desolate place. Yisovu Venhu. He encircled him. Yivonenehu. He discerned him. Yitzrenu. He guarded him. Ki Ishan Eino. Like the pupil of his eye.
And Hashem did that to
Bnei Yisrael.
Bnei Yisrael.
So it's talking there about the bringing out of Bnei Yisrael by Hashem, the actual forming of the Jewish nation as nations were founded, and Hashem bringing out, discerning, surrounding the Jewish people and the nations. Pirish, to explain, Yitzorech Ish Yisrael Leda. A Jewish person needs to know ki hu chelek Hashem imal, that he is a portion from Hashem above. Now, I don't say a portion of Hashem because we're not a part of God, but we are Hashem's portion. We are Hashem's specific, unique portion in this world.
Meaning like a designated.
Right. That's right. We're not a part of Him. Some people translate chelek Hashem, a portion of God. No, but that's not quite accurate, even though it translates to that. But Hashem does not have parts. And we're certainly not a part of God. So we are Hashem's special portion.
What are we actually separate?
From?
God.
Sure.
Isn't that just like a technicality? No, but I mean, aren't... meaning the concept that...
No,
the concept
of... Not technicality at all.
Meaning we're not... I don't know, I guess I understood from Darach Hashem that we're... That we're not, I guess, totally separate entity. I mean... Or else God would have a limitation if he wasn't. Right?
Well, we don't comprehend this, but on the one hand, we're not a part of Hashem. And on the other hand, Hashem has never changed. Now, we could really talk about this for hours. But I'll leave it at that for now, because it is truly a discussion unto itself. But those are the two sides.
Sure, it's like Hashem gave us what we are in our portion without diminishing.
Hashem did not diminish himself, he didn't change. At the same time, we weren't here before, and we are here now.
Right.
Well, there was some change, but Hashem never changed. So all these things coexist.
Beyond physical property.
Okay, anyway, that's the discussion by itself. The B'nai Yisrael mishtafu v'zeh ha'olam v'hatos kol ha'beruim elav yisborah. The Jewish people were sent to this world to direct and incline all creations toward God. V'lachen tzrichim shelo lishkoach ha'ikar. Therefore, it's necessary that we don't forget the essential purpose of our being here. If we were here in order to incline the creation toward God, then we don't want to forget our purpose.
That's our portion, right?
Yes, that's what he's saying here, right? That
it's
is
like a
head.
Mission.
Yeah.
More than a portion.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that ties into the first psukim, Zechor Yemos Halot, remember the days of history. I mean, remember the reason we were put here. Remember this. Discern it. Upirish Chelek Hashem Amo. And what about an explanation of the portion of Hashem as his nation? The Isa, it says, Kishu'amar Hashem Yisbarach Na'aseh Adam. When Hashem said in Bereshis, let us make man, Haynu Shehu Kolo Mikol HaBerui. That means to say that the human being contains and he is inclusive of all things in creation. Somehow everything in creation is included in the human being. And therefore the word na'aseh, we will make, plural, why does Hashem say we? It's him. I saw all kinds of different mefarshim on that. But he says it's to point out the inclusiveness of the human being. That it's na'aseh, we will make, because we contain all the bria within ourselves.
Is that also saying that the bria continues through the actions of man?
That's also part of it, that man becomes a partner, a shifu, with Hashem.
Since then we created ourselves.
No. Although there are those who say as well, Na'asa Adam is that we do have to create ourselves. Not Yesh Me'ayim, something from nothing, that we can't do. But we have to develop ourselves and build ourselves.
Well, how we act in our mission,
right.
If we complete our mission, we have the freedom of choice.
Right. That's the creation of ourselves that we do.
To continually create or not to create.
And that's the idea of being a partner with Hashem in creation, and we further the creation. And his point here is that we are inclusive of all things in creation. V'kulam nasnu bo chelek v'Hashem yisbarach kiviyachol nishtateh imahem. All of them, meaning all facets of Bria, gave a portion to the human being, and then Hashem, so to speak, he joined all of them. So that's na'aseh. Hashem says, you, every facet of creation, and I, Hashem, we will form the human being. Oh, yeah. We're on pay test.
In the chair.
Top left. Uva'adam harishon, haya ma'uruf kol ha'tokha.
I don't understand that concept. Kulam nasu b'chelek.
That means to say
everything,
that
every creation gave a portion to a man,
right.
Meaning
so,
to forming man.
Right. And there's something in the human being,
right.
which is inclusive of all.
And then Hashem joined in.
Right. Now, of course, we have to say Hashem is not an equal partner in this.
Well,
he's directing the whole thing,
parents,
right?
And make a child.
Right.
Same
right.
Idea.
Right. Yeah. But the idea is that Hashem is bringing everything into the creation of the human being, and then the touch of the Ribono Shel Olam to bring it all together and bring the spirit into the human being.
Because I would have thought Hashem was in every creation.
Also.
So
also
by
true.
All the creations being in person.
No, but here, see, then that would just be that we're not unique then. We're just placing everything and
uh-huh.
Putting it out. But
so we added
all things up. Plus something unique about the human being. Adam Harishon haya ma'uruf kol ha'kohos. Within Adam Harishon, there was a mixture of all forces. V'acharkach nivdalu b'nei Yisrael. Then afterwards, over the course of the generations, b'nei Yisrael began to be discerned and separated out. B'tziruf achar tziruf. In one refinement after another, one process of refinement, Kamosha Korsu, Yaakov Chevel Nachalasar. It says, Yaakov is the rope of his inheritance. Meaning, Shemei Avraham Yotzat Pesolas. From Avraham, the process of refinement kept occurring. This is a very fundamental thought brought down by the Mephorshim, because he gave birth to Yishmael. Not only to Yitzchak, but Yishmael. So there was a furtherance of the process of refinement of the human being. Even though Avram was complete and pure in Tamim, but nonetheless, there was still a psolus that had to be disregarded. Became the Yitzchak. Likewise, Yitzchak, who gave birth to Yaakov and Esau. So Yitzchak was complete and holy and pure. He was a korban. But nonetheless, the process of refinement continued. Finally, Yaakov was born, and he was the goal, really, of sifting out B'nai Yisrael from Adam HaRishon. But with their Yaakov, Nivdol Rak Chelek Hashem Mamish, and in the seed of Yaakov, only the portion of Hashem was separated out, and that's why each one of the 12 Shvatim were Tzadikim, and they all made up the constituency of B'nai Yisrael. So Adam contained everything. Over the generations, from people, the Jewish people emerged, Hashem selected them out. The process of the generations, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, contribute to that until Yaakov and the 12 Shvatim.
It's ironic that it's almost an evolutionary concept.
Yes, it's a little bit of a spiritual evolution.
Right.
Now, the Ramchal talks about this in detail in the Derech Hashem, a parak he has called the Inyan Yisrael v'Umas HaOlam, in respect to the Jewish people and the nations of the world. And he says that Adam HaRishon was at a certain state in creation, and then after the Chait, he dropped, he and Chava, and humanity existed on a lower level. And Hashem gave the opportunity for humanity to reach the first level of Adam HaRishon. It's consistent with what he's saying here. Adam contained everything. And Avraham Avinu was the one who achieved that. Over all the first 2,000 years of history, Hashem let it open for anybody. It didn't just have to be one person. But Avram was the only one who achieved it, and therefore he was zocha that he and his children would regain the state of Adam and Chava kodem hachet.
Well, didn't we also achieve it before the Chet Ha'egel?
Yeah, then at Matan Torah, the entire Jewish people reached that madrega.
Which in one sense is a higher madrega because it was done as a kahila,
right,
and not as an individual.
Right. Avram achieved that as an individual. Yaakov was a bridge between the individual and the collective, because his people became the kahila of Israel. I mean, his children became the 12 Shvatim. You always have Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. There's one person. And they contain all of Klal Yisrael, but didn't become Klal Yisrael until the children of Yaakov. And so that's correct. There's something more to it when the people as a whole achieve that madrega.
We did that generation of gaps. We could have the Shvatim.
Yes.
Just couldn't have 12.
Right. But there was still some solace not left in Avraham. He was free of the solus of this waste that he caused. But it was present from history. It was still there. And that's how it was being sifted out. And also, of course, Avraham, it's another interesting process here, is that Avraham gave birth to Yitzchak and Yishmael through two different wives. And so Sarah was the only mother of Klal Yisrael. She gave birth to Yitzchak, and that's all. But the next generation down, which was Rivka, she gave birth to both Yaakov and Esau. So there was something there, and maybe that had to do with her being from the family that she came from. Although Sora was also there. There's a difference there between Sora and Rivka. Sora never gave birth to somebody who was not Zocha to become B'nai Yisrael. Avraham did, but Sora didn't. And Rivka and Yitzchak both did. There's something special about Sora in that respect. She only had seed which became Bnei Yisrael. So there's something to think about. The Lothain. Nathan Hashem Yisbara Othos the Yisrael. Therefore, Hashem actually placed a sign, an emblem, as part of the Jewish people. Mila, circumcision, tefillin, Shabbos. Osi beini uleinechem, a sign between myself and the Jewish people. Mila is on the body, actually part of the body. The etzem haguf becomes part of the body. The tefillin is placed on the body, it's like clothing, and Shabbos is in the realm of time, in Zaman. So these are the osos between Hashem and the Jewish people, that we are His discerned nation. The chen pashut, and likewise it's basic. Mitzvahs menuchas ha-Shabbos lishpos melam malacha. The special mitzvah of Shabbos menucha to cease malacha. Lulis kor, and therefore to bring it to mind. Ki ha-ikar ha-neshama, that the essence of our being is our soul. And our acting in the physical world is for a purpose, but we have to regain our objectivity on a regular basis so we don't get sucked in by the world. So Shabbos we cease, Malacha. L'chol chai olam hazeh rak geirus v'ari. He said all the life in this world is only as strangers here. Geirus is like the lashon of a ger. We're strangers in this world. It's not really our place. And Arai means a temporary. Like we have been in Arai, the Sukkot is a Dures Arai, temporary dwelling
place.
Dures Arai. There's no permanence to Olam HaZeh. The Shabbos, Yom HaDinishmasim, Shabbos, however, is the day of the soul, V'lav D'gufa, and not the day of the body. V'lachain, Goy Sheshavas Chayiv Mitzva, therefore, he says, a Gentile who keeps Shabbos, the Gemara says he's chayiv misa. Now, it doesn't mean capital punishment. You don't kill a Gentile if you keep Shabbos. But it means that conceptually, he's forfeited his life because it's a misunderstanding of what his life is, that he is not able to live except through the joining of Gashmis. There has to be a physical, the physicality must be dominant, he's saying, in his realm.
Kashmias is?
Physicality, material, substance. Whereas, so therefore, the day of Shabbos, where the life is coming through the neshama, is not consistent with the makeup of a Gentile. He forfeits his life. It's a misunderstanding of what his life is. He can't gain spiritual nourishment.
So basically what it means is the forfeiting of his life is through not gaining the nourishment as God intended
right.
for Abraham to get.
That's right.
Whereas with the Jew has to keep Shabbos
in order to forfeit
our lives because we need our nourishment that comes through
exactly.
the neshama.
Exactly.
Is that the right way? Is that the neshama?
True,
okay, yeah.
So that's when you get into it.
So therefore it's coming down this way for the Jew, going through our body, elevating our physical as well as the neshama, and with the Gentile, it's actually just going through the physical.
Right, and it's not consistent with his nature to do it the other way.
It doesn't work.
It's the concept of some, you know, a non-Jew doing malacha for a Jew and Shabbos is kind of, it's like on that, just over that line. Because it's really his, he can do malacha.
Interesting point. There's some kind of correlation there. Like there's an interface here between the Jew and the Gentile, and the Gentile does malacha for the Jew. So it's interesting that in halacha, one of the reasons why a Jew is not allowed to ask a boy to do work for them at Shabbos is because you may come to do the malacha yourself, and it's hard. I can't quite make that step. where that fits into this conceptually. But it would certainly be interesting to think about that. Where does that fit in this understanding of the nourishment of life when a Gentile does the love of a Jew? You have to only hint at it and things like that. I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud. Mm-hmm. Okay. Rak b'nei Yisrael kodesh la'ashem v'yecholin lifrosh me'olam hazeh u'lehistabek v'alakutz. But the Jewish people are kodesh la'ashem, sanctified to God. V'yecholin lifrosh, we are able to separate. We are able to separate from olam hazeh and to cling to God. And to say that a Gentile in essence is not able to do that. So we have to think, you know, also another path here. The Eastern religion, for example, where you have certainly what appears to be a great deal of separation from olam hazeh, but there must be something about it in its essence which is deriving its nourishment from olam hazeh. So maybe I put them out of the world. Because there's one thing that Rabbi Twersky used to say, which was, as always, a very penetrating insight into the distinction of Jewish and Eastern meditation or tefillah practices. So in the Eastern idea, the idea is that you merge with the universe. And there's also an aspect of separation from the universe in the Eastern philosophy too. You remove yourself. So he used to say that merging with the universe is exchanging a small ego for a very large one. Struck me when he said that maybe that's the path here, that there's something at the very core which is very olam hazeh-ish, ego, where the whole meditation practice derives its chiyus from. And then they achieve some kind of spiritual gain through that or benefit, but its point, you know, where it embarks, is one of olam hazeh.
You actually can't go through Yom Kippur.
Right.
It really is very much, in one aspect of being olam hazeh is that it's very much the idea of merging in psychology is really going backwards to the time when you were merging with your mother. There's a symbiotic relationship between you and mother, who's now represented by the world, the earth, and you want to somehow connect again to what was, which is not what we're all about. We're about growing and becoming independent and making decisions and making choices. So we're moving in a different direction from that.
The universe, if you change universe,
maybe
to God.
That's the appeal that is said to be for the American Jews are supposed to have found places in following Eastern religions. Maybe they're looking for how to separate, and they find that those meditations or whatever way of their spirituality is looking to separate from all of that, but they're looking in the wrong place because the end result is that through Eastern religions is really reconnecting to olam hazeh through separation, whereas we are supposed to go in and mekadesh the physical world,
right.
And then once we've mekadeshed it, separate ourselves from the physical, raise it.
I don't know, I think that the separation that he's talking about is really an attachment. Is what they want. It's an attachment in the universe. It's just it's a nonsense word, universe. You know, get somebody to explain what that means, you know? It's God, the universe out there. There's one universal thing. What they're getting, what people don't want to say, we're not talking about ourselves, we're talking about, they don't want to say, it's God.
No, that is what they say. They say they're merging with God.
Right, it's a God, but emerging with God, there is no.
Well, we don't believe in
merging.
We believe in
divakus. Right, in attachment.
Attachment, closeness. merging, that's one of those fundamental...
But it's a word again. See, there, there's confusion. It's just a confusion of the
no,
word.
No, but that's, I think that's
that,
the concept.
I don't think so, because in those religions, there you, the that difficulty that we talked about earlier at the beginning, about Hashem not having parts,
right.
That goes back to that same
religion
point.
Physical.
Right. If you want to, if you can't resolve that, so one way to resolve it is say, yes, we are truly a part of God, and we will merge with God and become one with God. Now, those sound like Jewish concepts, but they're really, not.
He left the park.
I'm in airport.
Okay, let's take a look at something for circuits.
Okay. See, the term in itself, it's not that we're a part of God, we're a part of godliness.
Yes.
It's just a...
But that's, there's a real big distinction there. To say a part of God or godliness.
I still don't. I mean, I'm understanding that God is in everything.
Right.
But he's not a part of us.
Nonetheless, this is not God.
He's not a part of us. This is not God in the sense that you worship it, but it has a theos, it has a...
It's an extension
it
of Hashem's
receives
Ressa.
Its, it couldn't exist.
But Hashem,
we call
Hashem
that
is
Ressa
a part
Hashem.
Of us.
We call that Ressa on Hashem. Hashem's
and human
will.
Beings also
pardon
called Ratzon.
Pardon me?
And so is the Bria in
yeah.
general.
Yeah, everything is an extension of Ratzon Hashem.
But that Ratzon Hashem
but we do not identify,
is life.
We do not identify that with Hashem's essence. I know we can't make that bridge, right? We don't understand that bridge between God and His essence and His will. We accept that we can't comprehend that. We accept that. And that's where other religions take themselves away, you know, from the Jewish religion. It's at that point. How do you deal with that? That a God willed the world to exist and yet this is not His essence. We have concepts, you have in the world concepts of the Trinity and concepts of merging with God. And these are all difficulties with dealing with them. A presence of Hashem that cannot be divided and split off, so therefore have to reconcile. We don't reconcile.
All the isms are each of those different ways of looking at it that we reject, right?
We accept that it's incomprehensible and that's what we believe in.
Except what you said, I think Hashem is a part of all of us.
Not Hashem's essence, but we've had this.
Right. I don't mean that, but I'm talking about but the will, the life.
Hashem's right. So
without the will of
Hashem's
life, then
here.
We're not here.
Right. Hashem's will is here. So that's not the essence of God.
No, I didn't mean
right.
a part.
Right.
Now,
okay.
Who's the executor of Hashem's will?
Maybe you can get a job.
Israel, we
yeah, she
yeah, exactly.
Let's take a look on page 192. You know, he has a lot of beautiful ma'amorim on the Yom Tovim if you get a chance to look at them. Adam, we'll take a look on page 192. Is it top right? I think so. Okay. Tam Sukkot. I have to make a correction about something I said, especially because it's on tape. I said that one of the reasons that we don't ask a Jew does not ask a Gentile to do malacha is that there's a chashash that will come to do the malacha ourselves. I don't know if that's true, now that I think about it. It might be a separate thing altogether, so I want to hold that in abeyance until I clarify that.
Nisan, put an asterisk on all that chaos conversation.
Tam Sukkot after Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. The reason why Sukkot falls after Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. She'ein yecholim lezakos l'dira zu rak b'koach ha'teshuva. Because we are not able to be zocha, this special dwelling place, the Sukkah, without teshuva. So, each one of the things that's so fascinating about Tishrei is that every Yom Tov appears like it is the goal ultimate unto itself. And then you step back and you realize that there's a goal and there's another goal and there's another goal. Like Rosh Hashanah, what could be greater than Rosh Hashanah? Yom Kippur, what could be greater than Yom Kippur? Sukkot, Hoshana Rabbah, Simchas Torah. Everything is this ultimate goal, then it's also part of the process. So he says Sukkot...
Does it end there? Does it end in Simchas Torah?
Simchas Torah is when this part of the process ends, yeah.
And are these three exclusive? I mean, or is Pesach also leading up to Rosh Hashanah? Not really.
Well, everything is connected.
Right.
That's true. But Pesach is its own realm.
Tishrei is really the...
Yeah. Tishrei is its thing, and Pesach is its thing, and Nisan.
Purim is more connected to Pesach from there.
Yeah, although I think that some say that the light from Yom... They certainly say that the light from Yom Tov goes to Hanukkah. That they certainly say. I have something in my mind that it goes all the way to Purim too, but I'm not positive.
And then we have the fact that Shavuos is Atzeres for Pesach.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we need to go through Teshuvah. With the power of Teshuvah, we merit being able to sit in the Sukkah, to live in the Sukkah. Vazeh Ne'amar, and about this it is said, B'makom Shavale Teshuvah Omdin Ein Tzadikim Demurim Nepalim La'amot. The statement in the Gemara, in the place where those who have done Teshuvah stand, even those who are Tzadikim Demurim, which means they have never sinned, they're not able to stand. Ulabale avoda hu peraun sechar al asher ovar lifmehem v'yomim hanarayim. He said, for those who have done avoda, who have worked hard on the relationship with Hashem, the sukkah, he says, it's like a reward. It's almost like saying it's a sechar in olam hazeh. It's a reward for all the things that passed over them, that transpired over the course of the Yomim Noraim of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur.
Is he saying that the sukkah is a spiritual realm?
Well, that we know. That we know.
Right, but I mean, is that what he's saying?
I don't see it here yet. That's not the thrust of this mimer. He's saying that we're zocha to it through teshuvah. And that we work on ourselves, and as a result of that hard work, we zocha to this place, the atmosphere of the sukkah.
The atmosphere of the sukkah, which is a spiritual atmosphere from the same atmosphere.
Yeah, but he doesn't say that here. We know that from other places.
Well, we're ahead of him.
No, never. He's way ahead. The Huki Indian Ha'anoka. This is like Ha'anoka. Now, Ha'anoka means when they used to let a slave go, they'd have to provide him with provisions to get himself along with everything. So here, we worked real hard. We were avodim of Hashem. And now Hashem is kind of letting us go with some provision. And our provision is sukkahs. Remez l'davar. Here's a hint to the matter. Do you see that it says the sukkahs? Migornecha u'miyikvecha. It says, on sukkahs you shall gather from your wineries and from your grain. Lubahanoka kasiv gan kein migornecha u'miyeke. It also says with the mitzvah of Hanukkah, when you set a slave go, that you provide him from your grain and from your wine. So there's this parallel between the language of sukkah and Hanukkah. The Zacharta Kievet Hayisa, and then it says, you shall remember that we ourselves were slaves. Pirish Rashi, Veheenakti, I don't have the next word, what's that, Vishan?
I also have that missing letter. Shanisi, maybe? You have the Yod?
There's something missing from the moon in the south. Okay. Anyway, the concept is when Hashem led us out of slavery, he also made proper provisions for us so we would leave. We would leave and be able to actualize ourselves, even though we weren't in an environment yet that we were familiar with. Just as after we left Mitzrayim, Hashem provided us as we left with great possessions so we could go out and lead independent, healthy lives. Says likewise, through Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, when we repair our averus, shenigolim miyetzer hara, and we become free, right? We were enslaved to the yetzer hara in a certain respect, and we're free now, yesh revach gamkein. So there is also something that is gained from that freedom. We emerge into a new state, and we need provisions to live in it well. So here we are, coming out of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. We achieve this great state of being cleansed of our avonos. Now, where are we going to put it? Just going to let it go out there into the air? No, it goes right into the circuit. I always make this, you know, distinction between the freedom that the slaves had in America 100 and some odd years ago, and never had the opportunity to place their freedom into a destructive environment. And, you know, we're living the consequences of all that now. And the B'nai Yisrael leaving Mitzrayim, and first of all, putting our freedom into Torah, that was the first step. And he says here, more specifically, that the freedom from Averos we get on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, that also needs an environment to express itself first. And that environment is a circle. Tremendous idea. Zesher kasu b'ksolus goren v'yekav ha'kasu medaber. And that's what it says. What do you make sechach out of? From the waste of your grains, from your wines, that means to say from growing things, as we know. Those transgressions which were transformed into merit. We know that a full teshuva transforms a chet into a zechus. Ayidei ha-teshuka, through our great thirst and desire for a relationship with Hashem. Heim ha-hagona shemegin acharka avali ha-teshuva. Those merits themselves, which originally began as averos, and then we did teshuva and transformed them to mitzvahs, they protect those people who have done teshuva. This is a thorough transformation. Not only does the avera become a zechus, but that in and of itself protects the person who made that transformation. That's a complete turnaround, complete teshuva.
Which contrasts, you have that protection, which contrasts with a lack of protection in the sukkah, because the sukkah doesn't give you much physical protection.
Right.
You're dealing in a spiritual subject, and you have plenty of spiritual protection as you enter the sukkah. But that's what you need. You don't really need physical protection.
And I guess at the time of when we were in the Midbar, we were in sukkahs and stuff, we had to give ourselves over so much to Hashem, who was taking care of us. Mm-hmm. At that time, so if we're accessing that spirituality, which is the protection, it's the Hashem, I guess it's the same type of protection Hashem gave the Jewish people then, he gives us now at our time in the sukkah.
That should make us eager to use our merits to go out and build and get in the rain.
We'll say a few.